Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. I'm glad you joined me this morning. This morning's going to be kind of a short show. My poor son Michael has to head for Miami again today because the swelling in his throat is intense, and it's probably due to an edema or something, but when the hospital is in Miami and we're in West Palm, you really can't take any chances. So I'll be leaving this morning at about 7:30. I apologize profusely. It's been a rough last few months with trying to keep everything in hand. And then this morning I got up and I looked at my Facebook page, and I was asked by change.org and a personal friend to sign a petition against Rush Limbaugh. Well, yesterday was a pretty busy day. I didn't see any of the coverage on Rush Limbaugh's talk, I guess we'll call it. So I want to share a little bit of that this morning because we talked yesterday about the demise of Robin Williams and the sadness that it brought to all of us. We also talked about the fact that funny people often do, surprisingly, suffer from depression. But he puts on a very derogatory, very rude, very uncaring, conversation about, it is what it is. And, of course, he always has a way of making things sound mean, cold, unfeeling, etc. Never been one of my favorite people, which is, upsets me because I believe in telling the truth, but there's always a way to tell the truth that isn't so rude and uncaring. Let me bring in Shell, and then I'm going to read one of the articles about it so we can discuss it briefly before 7:30. Good morning, honey. How are you?
Well, good morning, Rain. Yeah, I've never been a fan of Rush Limbaugh either, and I don't find him truthful all the time, in that I don't agree with, for lack of a better way of putting it, I don't agree with his take on things. I don't like the way he perceives life. I think he's overly cynical, and like you said, he comes across very nasty and rude a lot of times, and so I don't appreciate his take on things a lot.
Well, that's kind of the way I feel about him, too, and this morning when I got the request, personal message request from somebody to sign the petition, I thought, I hadn't heard anything that he said because I'd been too busy to watch too much TV, but I do know that he's cynical is a good word. I couldn't think of that word earlier, and that's a perfect word to describe him. I actually signed the petition and wrote a comment about the fact that I do a radio show trying to promote, less judgmentality and a little bit more acceptance of our differences, etc. Rush Limbaugh should spend a few minutes looking in the mirror, I think. But here's what he said so we can discuss it quickly. Conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh slammed the low-rent left-wing media Wednesday. Of course, he's the only one that would say that, too. How do you differentiate the media to low-rent left-wing? Anyway, for taking his remarks on Robin Williams' suicide out of context, all of these low-rent, despicable, irresponsible, pathetic so-called media watchdogs on the left are trying to make it sound like I said that Robin Williams gave up because he was a liberal and is hopelessly doomed to misery and despair because that's what liberals are devoted to. Limbaugh said his comments were in the context of analyzing media coverage of Williams' suicide, not the suicide itself. What I did yesterday was express some real concern over the fact that they're glorifying this. I was worried about the coverage of all this leading to copycats. liberal-leaning media watchdog group such as Media Matters jumped on Limbaugh's comments Tuesday, accusing the talk show host of exploiting the actor's death. Now, what is the left's world view in general? What is it if you had to attach not a philosophy but an attitude to a leftist worldview? It's one of pessimism and darkness. I'm getting pop-ups again on my foolish computer. Anyway, he talks at length about they're never happy. They're always angry about something. No matter what they get, they're always angry. I think that is an angry assessment of people who don't like the way things are going. I don't feel like that, first of all, it not only doesn't criticize properly, criticism should teach if it can at all. But then when I read into this a little bit more, I found out that there's all kinds of comments, and there's people writing comments about, Robin will go to hell because he took his own life. And I'm thinking to myself, what is wrong with all these people? Can't they just understand that a wonderful man who made us laugh all the time was in such a bad place that he took his own life? And can't they feel some kind of empathy and sadness for that instead of making judgmental comments and assuming that they know, or assuming that they know what's going to happen afterwards, either, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
What do we sit and wait for things to bitch about?
Well, there are people that do. I mean, you're saying that sarcastically, but there are people that live their lives and they live waiting for other people to screw up so they can pounce on them. And usually those types of people are people that aren't happy with their own circumstances. And while they're, you and I have seen people like that, while they're watching the world and criticizing the world and advising everybody else how to fix their lives, they don't have to look at the discord that their own life is in. It's very easy to try and fix others. It takes a certain amount of courage and self-responsibility to look at ourselves and say, wow, this is out of order in my own life, and I need to fix that first before I start looking at other people, you know. But there's something empowering in people that don't feel like they're in power to rip apart how other people live their lives and the mistakes that other people make. I don't go there. I've never gone there because I've always been somebody of very strong self-responsibility. So have you. And I think that's one of the reasons why it bothers you and I so much. And if anybody who has a strong sense of self-responsibility, this kind of constant negativity and constant criticism of what other people do, the mistakes other people make, or sometimes it's not even a mistake. Sometimes it's just a different choice, okay? But, you know, for these people who have this constant need to throw out negativity, whether you want to call them left-wingists or whatever, it's not a healthy way to live. And you have to feel some compassion for those people because you can't be a happy person and constantly picking apart other people. It just doesn't go together. I don't wear rose-colored glasses. I see what's going on in the world, yet I tend to look for the good in people. There's good in the worst of us, and there's bad in the best of us. That's just the reality of our world. You know, I've known people that are almost angelic, that have said or done things that were less than angelic, and I've known people that were bad, bad, bad to the bone, and yet they would just rant behind this nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
well, your assessment of all of that is absolutely the truth. What bothers me, though, first of all, there are things we honestly don't know about. There are things that we speculate about, like life after death. We talk about it on the show. Like, unless there's something, a note or something explaining somebody's thoughts before taking their own life, you speculate on what made them do it. There's no way of knowing unless somebody actually tells you. To assume that it had anything to do with lack of character, in my opinion, is small-minded. I don't know that it takes, you know, I mean, for somebody, Rush Limbaugh in this situation, but there's other people like him, and all the people that, you know, all the religious fanatics that went on and went to the fact that, you know, nobody's supposed to take their own life. Well, of course not. And everybody wants to believe that nobody will take their own life. How many suicides have we talked about in teens in the past year and a half, 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's every day.
That's right. And so, it's brought about by a sense of hopelessness. It's not a lack of character. And a lot of times there's drugs involved. I'm sorry. Antidepressant drugs, any kind of drug for any kind of mental condition, alters a person's ability to see life in realistic terms. It actually removes the sense of hope. Now, when you lose hope, it has nothing to do with a lack of character. They see no point in going on. They don't see the possibility that things will improve, or they don't see their contribution, or they don't, you know, in other words, life becomes pointless and painful to them. And the reason I can go there is because of that very, very extremely minusculely brief brush I had with drug-induced feelings of suicide, you know. And I'm almost grateful that I had that because, number one, it was brief enough for me not to respond to it, all right. I knew I'd never felt that before, so I knew it wasn't real for me. But what it did for me is it allowed me to feel what people with emotional disorders really do feel. I mean, I was taking a muscle relaxer because I injured my neck, not for depression. And here I didn't already have depression, and it inspired me to feel that devastation, that complete disconnect from life, and the sense that I didn't belong here anymore. Now, for a drug to be able to bring that out in somebody who does not already suffer from depression, and I was taking a fairly mild dose, what happens to people that take these antidepressant drugs that have all the warnings on them? They're already suffering from depression. What kind of a tendency would it inspire in that type of person?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, of course, and you and I have talked about this on several occasions when we talked about mental health and when we talk about teenage suicides and things like that. Drugs, of course, play a huge, huge role in depression and are often handed out for depression. And the difference is, of course, is something else that we've said a million times, is that we're not all the same. So you give me a pecan cookie, and I'm in hog heaven. You give somebody who's allergic to nuts a pecan cookie, and they're in anaphylactic shock. It's just different. So, but to say, I mean, what we talked about yesterday, because now I'm feeling a little bit guilty because I attached a bit of a persona to the death of so many famous people and having a lot of them be comedians has nothing to do with how they look at the world. I didn't want to, I hope I didn't put that out there, that they made people laugh because the world is such a horrible place. I always feel like really good comedians make fun of themselves more than anyone else to lighten the world up, not to show that the world is such a horrible place that you have to be the village idiot all the time to make everybody crack up because there's nothing worth considering unless you're being a fool. I don't mean that by any stretch of the imagination. I've even talked before. Remember when we did one of the shows talking about famous people, and we did a show about kids, where they were now and things like that, and we talked about some of the we talked about Lucille Ball. Lucille Ball would black out her teeth, wear her hair all straight. She didn't and she was a beautiful, beautiful, drop-dead gorgeous woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the time she and Vivian Vance were trying out the stuff they were trying to sell on TV and got drunk, or then Cher, one of the most beautiful symbols of gorgeous women in the world today, with the outfits, and I never will forget the white horse and the white headdress and the feather outfit. Remember on the Sonny and Cher show when she came out and wearing that thing? But
oh,
she
yeah.
could still be the goofy woman at the laundromat and make
yep.
fun of herself. I try, and Robin Williams as Patch Adams, Robin Williams as Jack, Robin Williams as Hook, Robin Williams then going to the other side, like The Fisher King and some of the movies that we talked about yesterday, were an attempt to make people leave their troubles and come to a world of make-believe, of a story, of something to think about other than their troubles. Certainly not because he's a bah humbug, I hate life, but you do understand that in a lot of cases a comedian like that understands unhappiness and wants to rectify it. I don't think that's a bad thing.
But I think Robin Williams is very deep. I had seen him on some talk shows, and he's very, very goofy and very irreverent, and he would tend to take over a show if he was ever a guest on it. But you would see him have his moments where he had a lot of heart. He would talk very openly about his past, and he even admitted doing a lot of drugs when he was younger as a way to cope. But that's sort of where some of his crazy comic creativity came from, you know. But he was definitely a seasoned and very talented actor. He could literally play any kind of role, play them expertly, from serious to comedic to even dark and sinister type of roles, you know, and he carried very, very believably. So he had huge talent, you know. But there was a depth there. There was something that he perceived not quite right. And no, we're not glorifying what all these actors and actresses are doing. And there's suicides among people that aren't actors or actresses. You know, you just don't hear about them. You know, we talk about what happens to people in the media because it, for some reason, it tends to surprise people more. You know, if Mr. found the street, who you don't really know commit suicide, you're like, oh, well, that's a tragedy, and I wonder what was going on in his life, and oh, so sad for his family. You know, but you hear about a major celebrity or a politician, and everybody's aghast because they're like, oh, my God, this person had all this money and all this fame, and they were beloved by their fans. What would push them to suicide? Well, the same thing that pushed Mr. Jones. That's what people don't understand. Fame and wealth don't counteract these senses of hopelessness if that is your emotional issue. You have to deal with it in other ways. Just being successful and happy don't do it. That's why people that are alcoholics or drug addicts don't stop being alcoholics or drug addicts when they're successful in life, because the one doesn't mitigate the other. The one doesn't soften it in any way. If anything, when they become successful and they have money, it even puts more pressure on them, and sometimes they deeper into their addiction.
Well, and those are all valid points, and I think that's an issue in a lot of different cases. Like, you know, let's talk a little bit about The freedom of speech gives us the opportunity to discuss our point of view, our belief, our opinions about many, many things. I wonder why, in a world with so much to be grateful for, yes, right now there's stories all over this morning's news about a kid being hurt in St. Louis, and now there's a big, private war going on in St. Louis because a child or a young person was killed by the local police. And we have every day in Florida, there's things on TV about brutality brought on by our local law enforcement, things like that. In a world where we have real issues, real problems, we have starvation, we have homelessness, we have vast mental illness, which you and I have really looked at many, many times, and it never ceases to amaze me how what a large set of circumstances that unfolds. Why would somebody who holds a seat where people are listening to him, where he has a name that people recognize, why would he choose to do this in lieu of talking about something that was going to bring about, I don't know, what's the word I want, and not obviously you can't be happy over something like this happening, but at least understanding, maybe, or keep things on some kind of even ground and you know, feel the sadness, get through it, just like you do the death of a loved one that dies of natural reasons. Why would you take that pulpit and badmouth somebody that we just lost, that everybody loved? That's what I don't get. Are you there, Shel?
Oh, sorry.
Shelly.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, no, what I was saying is I agree with you. I mean, and that's part of one of the reasons that you had wanted to do this show is because so many people are out there just basically slinging mud. And after a tragedy has happened, whether it's an accident or self-inflicted or whatever, the bottom line is you can't match sadness, depression, anger with those types of emotions. You need to attack it. You have to be realistic, but realistic in a rebuilding way. And that's what we try to do on the show. We talk about these subjects from a very realistic standpoint. You know, we don't have our heads in the clouds, but we talk about it in a way, it's like, oh my God, this thing is so tragic. So how do you go forward from this? You know, sometimes you can't make sense out of something that somebody else has done when it was a willful act. You know, accidents are accidents. You know, somebody wasn't careful. Somebody turned right when they were supposed to turn left, that type of thing. All right? Even sometimes accidents can be prevented. But when somebody makes a choice and it has a devastating effect on them, it ruins a career, it causes them to lose life or limb, something like that, to attack it with with an extra amount of compassion and understanding is really the only way that's appropriate to handle it, because we don't have the right to judge other people, but we do have a right and a responsibility to look at what they did and learn by it. There's a word, vicarious. Some people don't know what that means. To learn vicariously means to be able to see somebody else experience something and to learn a lesson from that without having to experience it yourself. A lot of people, I've always learned vicariously, but a lot of people that I know don't. They can see somebody making a particular choice in life that had devastating effects on them, and then that person turns around and does the same thing. And then they're shocked that they have the same devastating effect on their own life. It's always surprised me. So when I hear stories like this, what I take from them is I feel compassion for the families. I feel compassion for the person if it's something that they survived. But I learn from it. This is one of the ways I've learned how to make better choices in my own life, because I've seen this person do this thing and just like have horrible effects on their life. So I've learned not to do the same thing in my own. And I think this is something that's missing from a lot of people, is that they see things like this happening and they don't learn. They don't take something positive from it because they're too busy criticizing it. Instead of feeling that sense of compassion and having it be a life lesson for them, saying, wow, you know, now at least that's clarified, I'm never going to make that decision or I'm never going to make that mistake. You know, they're too busy criticizing the person, and they never take it to heart. They never allow it to mold them into a better person.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let me say this, because we're going to have to shut off in a couple minutes. We have about 4 minutes until 7:30. I believe, and I'm about to say something that I would chastise somebody else for, but I think people like Rush Limbaugh are attention mongers. I believe that Rush Limbaugh, probably most of his life, never felt like people noticed him. He's not incredibly handsome. He's not incredibly suave or debonair in any way, shape, or form. So I believe attention that he can get, regardless of how he achieves it, is attention that he is craving. So he's learned, the infamous shock jock. There's other people that do things that are that promote people saying, "What a jerk! What is this? What is that?" They don't care. As long as people are talking about them, they don't care whether it's positive or negative, because they crave the attention. So maybe we should feel sorry for Rush Limbaugh, because he feels the need to take a very, very sad, a nationwide, worldwide, sad event and turn it into something negative and judgmental, because then people are talking about him instead of somebody who was loved and is gone from our world now. So
right. Maybe
that's the name of the game for people like him. You know, it's like I've talked about that before. I've met women who live in an abusive relationship, and we've talked about this on the show, and they won't leave. Why? Because attention in any form is what they crave. If you fight with them, they're happy. They want you to love them. They want you to pay attention to them. But nobody loves somebody constantly and fawns over them unless they're a beautiful little 6-week-old baby or a puppy, let's face it. So you are an adult, and you will take attention in any way, shape, or form. And we've talked about that with women and men who are in relationships where even the abuse is a source of attention, and they crave it. So maybe that's who Rush Limbaugh is. But whatever his reasons for saying anything negative about the loss of somebody that we all appreciated and got so much joy from, he should be ashamed of himself. And I'm sorry, but we have to go. I won't be able to get Mike to Miami in less than 2 hours. So we have to leave early this morning. I apologize. We'll be back tomorrow and maybe continue some of this conversation and a few of the other things that are going on. I got some more feedback on some of the burn challenge game that's going on, so I'd like to talk about that again tomorrow. But thanks.
And I'm
going to
look a little bit different to Rush Limbaugh this morning as well. I found the website, so I'm going to read a little bit more in depth on that too.
Wonderful. Okay, so we'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Apologies again. Michael, I see you're listening to the show. I'll be there in about 30 minutes. Bye-bye, everybody. Go out and have a great, great day. Lots of rain again this afternoon, so be careful. Also, if you're in the vicinity of Okeechobee, in West Palm Beach. There was a horrible accident this morning, so you probably can't get through if you're headed east on Okeechobee Boulevard. Bye-bye, everybody. God bless. Thanks, Shel. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, Reen. Good luck with everything this morning, and I will speak to you tomorrow morning. Bye, all.
Oh, bye-bye.